Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts. Religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Mondays are going great. Hopefully your team's won this weekend.
Not my team did not, but I also would have gambled against my team winning. That's a thing. I can't do it. I keep looking at my team's schedule on my refrigerator, and I keep going, loss, win, loss, loss,
that's a win.
Win.
That's a loss. That's a
and
win. That's
Rams
a loss.
At home after barely beating them somehow in LA. I'm like,
still
that's
one of
be
the
loss.
Bigger head scratcher games of the year for me. And that punch out at the goal line on Thursday Night Football as the Rams are dry, like just one of the plays of the season.
Might man. Save the Niners
very
like,
well could.
Season and keep them in the playoffs.
They could go to the wild card because of that. They could be in the playoffs because of that one play. It's wild stuff. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Did we see the death of a conference this weekend?
See the death of Taggy LeBue and Lenny Wilkins?
Yeah, we had a couple of key deaths in the world today, in the sports world. Not today, the weekend. I can't talk right now, but you get my point. Tagliabue died. They had to give a moment of silence yesterday at NFL games. And then Lenny Wilkins connected to Northwest Hoops forever.
Seattle and Portland.
Man. Longtime legacy guy in the Northwest, passing away over the weekend.
They just gave Wilkins his statue at Seattle, like,
glad they did that
6 to 8 months ago,
just
I think.
In the nick of time.
I think he was there. He
good.
Saw it. Like,
do that stuff earlier. What are we waiting so long for?
Lenny Wilkins, good dude, man. Really good reads on Lenny Wilkins. Just the fact that he was a pro basketball player at 6'1", 175 pounds was remarkable to most people. And then just becoming a very good coach in terms of relating to players.
Yeah.
And
legacy guy, man.
Won the title with the Sonics and the ties to Portland, both as a player and the coach. Like, it just everything Lenny Wilkins had, man. Pacific Northwest basketball icon.
Yeah. You got any Lenny Wilkins thoughts, Swag? That was in your heyday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got the franchise started and probably impatience, you know, any franchise starting out, it doesn't usually go right out of the chute the way we've seen some franchises recently do. But the Sonics were the beneficiary and he went up there and put together a fun team. If for those that watched it when they went to their titles and back-to-back finals in the late 70s.
I had a fun Lenny Wilkins moment in my life when I was interning in Seattle. We had this Rolodex, guest Rolodex, and it was pages and pages long, like just super impressive. Had every name. It had John Madden in it.
Yeah.
Like all the home,
tough
home,
acting, tough acting,
cell,
boom.
Office, yeah. Like every number of every person in sports. I would go read it sometimes just out of like seeing the names.
Do you write anybody's number down?
If I'm being in the trust tree, I absolutely copied it And then I took that copy to
How do you not? I would have to. Like, now, with that kind of act, if you're not cold calling John Madden on a Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't cold call John
Madden. Come on my Joe Beaver radio show? Like, you're not doing that, but I would be really tempted to do that.
No, but I had to call Lenny Wilkins for a guest spot during my internship. It was during a December show, and I called him, and he, hello? And I was like, hey, Lenny, it's so-and-so with so-and-so radio. Hey, how you doing? He's like, oh, I'm good. I was like, they really want to get you on today. Are you available in this hour? And he goes, ah, I'll be honest with you. I'm tired. And I don't want to talk. Okay, man.
You got it, Lenny.
Thanks for all you've done. Yeah. Have a good day. And he's like, thanks, you too. And he hung the phone. I'm like, ah, I talked to Lenny Wilkins.
That's
that was cool, man.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to check off your bucket list. R.I.P. Lenny Wilkins, a basketball legend in the Pacific Northwest. What was the biggest NFL takeaway for you this weekend? Do you go positive? Do you go negative? Is it the Giants blowing another game? Is it the Jags getting outscored 26-0 in the fourth quarter to Davis Mills? Is it the Bills doing whatever the Bills? Did you see Mike McDaniel, by the way, after the game? There's a bunch of Bills fans that infiltrate Miami every time they go down, and they have this like corner on whatever the main drag is where they rent out a bunch of bars, and it's nothing but Bills fans that go there.
Mm-hmm.
And McDaniel, after the game, drove by all the bars to, like, mock Bills fans.
Did he really?
Which, on one hand, I laugh at. On the other hand, I'm like, dude, you're going to get fired in 6 weeks.
There's a report that if they can reel off and have a respectable ending, he might not
be. Are we buying that they can reel off and have a respectable? I know this weekend was nice.
Their schedule kind of lines up.
I know.
I think we looked at that. And, look, I know they're a three-win team.
They just lost 28-6 to the Ravens on Thursday night a week and a half ago.
Well, you're not wrong. I told Swag this before the show. Like, they should kind of be. They've had 10 games. I think going into that, I think if we're being honest, they should probably have been 4-5. Like, they should not be what they are. But so their next game, they're Commanders with no Jaden.
That's
Saints.
A London game, I think, right? Or a Spain, yeah. Somewhere overseas.
So you got Commanders. We'll see what happens.
Spain game.
Saints, Jets. You reel off three in a row here.
They also
after?
Lost 31-6 to the Browns a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
So
it's a great moment for him. I don't know if he'll get fired. What's my big takeaway?
Yeah, what's the biggest takeaway for you from the NFL? Is there one that reaches out over the others?
No, I think I have them kind of in the same level to me. The Pretenders showed that they're pretenders. And by that, I mean the Vikings. Or not the Vikings, excuse me. The Panthers.
Vikings are a pretender.
The Jaguars. Like, yeah. Those are teams that, like, record-wise, were kind of in this conversation. But mostly people would say, I don't buy you.
Are the Bears a contender or a pretender?
I think they're a contender pretender.
They're a contender pretender?
I think they're going to make the wild card, but not be taken seriously by anybody, nor should they. Having to come back from double digits down, which now that's 0-4 when leading by 10-plus points, the Giants.
Russell Wilson is so bad.
Daboll's going to get fired, and he should.
Yeah.
That was a good win by the Bears because they were not playing well, and as soon as Dart came out, they took full advantage of
that. Oh, they dominated the rest of the game.
My other one is, we knew you were right there, and now you need to be back in the conversation. Hello, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
They ended up with 19 points, but the Vikings had to fight every single second of that game to get to 19 points. That was mostly 10. Like, the ability by Baltimore.
And they scored a touchdown on their opening drive, too, by the way. I know
yes.
This is a Ravens better. I'm like, are you kidding me? Opening drive, they hit a long pass play, and you're like, here we go in the rest of the game. Until garbage time with 2 minutes to go, essentially, they had scored 6 points the rest of the game.
I don't even care what his final stat line says. Lamar being in that changes all of this. And now Pittsburgh's losing to the Chargers and having their worst performance in some time. Rodgers probably had his worst performance as a quarterback in the NFL. Like, hello, Ravens.
Yeah, here they come.
So I think it's a combination. Look, the Bills lost, excuse me, against Miami is just like, what is that? But the Ravens, hello, the Pretenders showing their Pretenders. And then if you want to throw the Patriots in there of, is this a wagon?
Yeah.
I think all of that is fair.
Little lipstick on that pick in the final score, too, because Tampa scored with a touchdown to Tess Johnson with like 40 seconds to go.
I love Travion Henderson during
the run
yeah. saying, you want me to slide or score?
It's like, well, there's still two timeouts left. It's a one-possession game. Go ahead and score. Let's
Dude,
get this thing over with.
I want to score every time. Go
that
get the touchdown, right young man.
You deserve it. He had two long breakaway runs, 147 yards on 14 carries for Henderson this weekend.
Do you have something that stands out more than everything else?
There's not necessarily one thing over the others for me. I will circle, though, the head-scratching result, because I think they get the benefit of the doubt because of what they've done and the track record they have over the last handful of years. They are coming off a very nice win in which defensively they were dominant against Kansas City, who had started to figure it out offensively. I don't know what to make of Buffalo, man. I like if you're an elite team, like, you can almost kiss it goodbye isn't the right phrase, but that was a massive blow for them in the AFC East playoff picture because the Pats got another win. They already have a head-to-head win over you, and you were tied in the loss column. Now you're no longer tied in the loss column. You just picked up your third loss. They get the Bucs at home this weekend, so I'm imagining Buffalo is going to bounce back. They just got a couple of these. Like, the game in Atlanta, after a tough loss to New England on Sunday night where you're like, damn, that was a head-scratcher, you go on the road to Atlanta, you just lay a total egg, you only score 14 points. And then I see you dominate Carolina, who's not very good, and then you beat the Chiefs, and I'm like, all right, they figured it out. Dude, Miami sucks. To get blown out and to be, what was it, 16-0 at halftime, I want to say, and then even then you have that long drive to start the third quarter, and then Allen throws a pick in the end zone. Like, they just
had a couple bad turnovers in this game.
Wild. They had the fumble on the scramble. Like,
fourth down.
And I get it. The elements were a part of it. They just have been wildly inconsistent this year. And that's going to happen in the NFL. There's ebbs and flows. There's highs and lows. And I'm not eliminating them from a contender standpoint. It's more about, like, their... The biggest thing that I've wanted to see from Buffalo is for them to have one of these regular seasons where they put it all together and to have the playoffs go through their stadium the rest of the way. And I don't think that's going to happen now. When I look at one, the AFC East standings are now a game and a half, I should say, behind New England, 8-2 to 6-3, and they have the head-to-head loss to them. And then the Colts and what some of the other teams are doing in the AFC, Denver, who's up there as well. Mm-hmm. I just, that to me, from a negative side, I was shocked at that result. And I, again, don't know if there's any grand takeaway of what it means the rest of the season. I just would have thought after losing to Atlanta and New England and playing the way they did in those games, that those were the ones that were their outlier games.
You wouldn't overlook Miami.
You're in no position to overlook anybody.
And Miami almost beat you at your own stadium earlier this year when we all poo-pooed it on Thursday night.
On a Thursday night, everybody thought you were going to kill them, and they damn near beat you too. Had the ball with a chance to win it in the
probably
fourth quarter.
Won the game.
He threw a pick, and then he kicked a field goal to win by 10. That was ugly. So and they had a long winning streak over Miami. That to me, from a negative standpoint, was a big takeaway.
I'm totally cool with you having that takeaway because I was keeping.
Like, what
if
they lose to the
too?
Bucs at home this weekend? I'm not putting it past Tampa to go in there and win. And you're 6-4, 10 weeks into the year?
We've noted Buffalo's been a little weird this year, right? They've had these games that don't make a lot of sense, and some of them they've either gotten by or they end up losing outright, as the ones you point out. I'll say this as a follow-up. I love me some Josh Allen. I think Buffalo's an easy, rootable team, right?
Yes.
Unless you have a divisional interest.
We're all rooting for Buffalo to do it.
Or they've broken your heart and you hate them. Most people like Buffalo. It's a likable team city thing. Can I follow up? Given a benefit, why? What have they done?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. They haven't won the AFC.
Like, winning your division while it's dog crap is not, like, something that's overly impressive to me. You give them, the benefit of being the most together franchise, but the Jets are a disaster. The Dolphins have not won a playoff game
since
2000.
Maybe it's just because of the feeling of their quarterback. Like, it's just Josh Allen seemingly is a top... I mean, we all know he's a top three or four quarterback.
Well, he's a great quarterback.
In the league, so.
He's fun. He's easy to root for, but, like, I'm asking legitimately, what they haven't won anything. That's the problem with them.
And that's what I'm trying to... Like, to me, when the Colts lost the way that they did last week, there was almost this visceral reaction of, like, oh, God, here we go.
We got tagged in a national pundit saying, hey, Daniel Jones. Jones is Daniel
now
Jones.
They're back to being the old Colts. And look, it wasn't perfect against Atlanta. I didn't watch a ton of that game because I wasn't up super early on Sunday morning. But I turned it on at the end, and the game went to overtime. But
Atlanta
choked
it away and lost in overtime.
We just treat teams differently when they have a bad questioning loss where we immediately say, oh, there's your real colors. We're Buffalo. They've been good for a long time, but I want to do it to them because they deserve it. That was a bad
performance. I think most people are in the camp of, like, yeah, that's disappointing. You need to prove it. I don't think people give them much. People give them the benefit of, you don't want to eliminate them from the playoff conversation.
Sure.
But I don't think people look at Buffalo and say, like, oh, well.
They're a wagon that's going to run away in the AFC.
Yeah, I think you kind of wonder, like, New England, that was really impressive. That was a really popular, not that this needs to matter in the grand scheme, that was a popular bet this week at Tampa minus the 2.5. And they went in there and they punched Tampa in the face. Their defense was really impressive. You're right. That was a garbage touchdown late.
Yeah.
They did a great job getting to Baker Mayfield, putting pressure on him. They had that opening touchdown to Egbuk, and you went, oh my God, is Tampa going to do this?
Could have been worse, too, because May threw a pick in the end zone as well.
Yes.
When they were driving it. It was a two-score lead on
and
the
And Drake
the line.
May continues to play really well, and that defense for New England showed up in a big way this weekend on the road.
Here's Allen, if they were flat today or today, yesterday in Miami.
Getting stopped on 3rd-and-2, where I could have done something different there. Fourth down, they made a good play. So the first two drives just didn't really set us up great. But again, it comes down to execution, and we didn't execute.
Head scratcher there for Buffalo. They get a chance to redeem it. They get Tampa coming to town next week. Let's get to a couple other notes out of the NFL weekend, including did one team find their groove again thanks to a change of who's calling plays. We'll stick in the NFL. Cut up next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
All right, welcome back in. We'll get into some fun with audio and college football notes coming up bottom of the hour. Well, we saw one team turn it around this weekend. I don't know how much it had to do with them figuring things out, or was it because of who they were playing. But one of the few correct bets that I had out there this weekend was Detroit going on the road to Washington. We gave you the numbers last week. I think Dan Campbell in his career in Detroit's like 12-0 straight up and 12-0 against the spread off of a loss. He's not lost back-to-back games. They're a great bounce-back team. They have that head-scratching game at home where you're like, what? They lose to J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings? Where did this come from? And then they run all over Washington this weekend, a game that was hijacked by politics in the second half. 44-22 was your final. Here is Dan Campbell after the game, because if you noticed, a little bit about a quarter into the game, they show him on the sideline. He's got a pair of glasses on. He's got a big page in front of him. We got a new play caller
in
Detroit.
Yeah, I think part of that loss to Minnesota was, for them, bad play calling.
Yeah.
Which was a huge thing for people coming into the year, and then they had that shocking loss to the Packers the way they did, and then they rebounded, and then they lost. So
it's kind of ebbed and flowed as a storyline for them all year.
It's clearly something internally that they also agree with, that the play calling is a little bit of a question mark.
If the head coach is going to take it over, that tells me, yeah, you're spot on. It's an issue, and here's Dan Campbell on that after the game.
It was just, let's try something a little different, right? You know, look, I know what I want to do. I know how I want to do it. Now, that being said, this is a collaborative effort now. I mean, I was taking input from John Morton that whole time and the other coaches. So, hey, man, what do you think here? Third down. All right, we get into this. Third and 7 plus. Blah, 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 blah. All right, where are we at? Give me this. So this is all-encompassing. You know, man, we all work together. Coaches did a hell of a job. But I just wanted to change it up a little bit. You know, let's just see if maybe a different play caller can maybe get us a little rhythm. That's all. And it honestly is nothing more than that. You know, I know you're probably going to want to ask questions about, well, what about this? Or I heard this. It's not that. This was a change. We made a change. It was good for today.
he's taking the high road, which, you know, that's what you should do. You protect your guys and saying it's a collaborative effort, but their offense got it going this way. I mean, that game was over halfway through the second quarter.
Also, to be fair, the Commanders suck.
The Commanders are terrible. They're,
like, even with Daniels, their defense has not been good this year at all.
Can I give you a hot take, actually, this year happening the way, as long as Daniels, by the way, it sounded like he's avoiding surgery, right? Is that the report last week?
It wasn't as bad as they initially thought.
They said there was no structural damage. So the ligaments were
cast it up. And
yeah,
he better not play this year.
He'll minimum of the next two games out.
Okay, I mean, just
the minimum of the rest of the season.
Just, yeah, you're 3-7.
Your year's
done.
Yeah,
you're not going anywhere. Your team sucks.
Yeah,
I would argue that ends up being a good thing. For, like, you got a chance to go get a top 7 pick and draft a defensive player because clearly you need some help defensively, or you need another offensive lineman because Daniels got hurt a couple times. Like, sometimes having a year like this can benefit you, and then you're right back into contention next year if you stay healthy, if you could hit on those first two draft picks that you have. Just a side note for it. By the way, one other draft note, and then I wanted to talk a little bit about the NFC playoff picture. Do you remember the trade that Atlanta made in the back end of the first round?
Didn't they trade their pick from
they
next year?
They traded their first round pick to the Rams to go up and get Pierce. They moved up like
they got two defensive linemen
seven spots to trade their future one. That pick right now, I think, would be the 8th overall pick in the draft going to the LA Rams.
Which doesn't look good considering where the Falcons are at. I think Raheem Morris and that GM are pretty close to being axed.
Oopsies.
Because they drafted Walker. And then they traded back in because they wanted Pierce. Yes. They wanted to help their defense be
two
really
edge
good.
Rushers is what they wanted. They traded next year's number one for it.
Nice little game for Dorless, by the way.
It was a good little game for Dorless.
Can we also just outright tell the truth on this? The President of the United States knows nothing about football.
No.
And I'm pretty sure he thought that was a regional broadcast because he kept telling Kenny Albert and who was the cat with him. He kept talking.
Jonathan Vilma.
Yeah. He kept saying, you know, your backup quarterback, he's good. He's okay. And then, like, 2nd and 7.
You're, like, they're the Washington commentators.
Yeah. Did you not catch the broadcast?
I was in the kitchen, and I just turned around. I'm like, what's happening on Red Zone right now?
So the Red Zone goes to him, and Albert's like, hey, would you like to do play-by-play here, Mr. President? And he's like, it's 2nd and 7. It's big play. I think it's a really big play here. And he goes, you're your backup quarterback, and your starter's not bad, but he needs to stop getting injured.
Welcome back to the home of Washington Commanders football. You realize this is National Fox?
He couldn't name
America's
one player to save his life. It was the ultimate you don't know ball moment.
Yeah, you don't know what
that somebody could have done. It's got to be a nightmare scenario to be thrust into. I mean, he wants to be, but
yes,
to be put into a situation where you don't know.
Just out of your depth, man.
Anything that you're talking about.
Good luck with that. I did not catch that. I did see Jonathan Vilma made multiple 6-7 references. He was like, that was his line of questioning. I don't know.
He was questioning to the president?
It was almost like somebody gave him a prop bet of, I bet you can't say 6-7 twice in a question, and he said 6-7. He was like, how many touchdowns did you score in high school? 6 or 7? 6-7?
Well, I believe somebody also noted that Albert was mischaracterizing that he played for one of the academies, the president.
Yeah, no, his high school was a military high school.
Yeah, and I think people were saying he was saying it wrong.
Yeah, he had bone spurs. So, out of that game, Dan Cando takes over play calling, and there you go. Detroit gets the win. Let me ask you this. I give you $50 right now, and you have to place it on a team to win the NFC. And I'm only giving you three options.
Okay.
Here are your three options. The Seattle Seahawks, the Detroit Lions, or the Green Bay Packers. Before knowing how the game plays out tonight. Whether that dictates it or not.
See, home field's a part of this, too.
You got to look at the records right now. So the Lions are 6-3. Yeah, the Packers right now
ahead of them.
What are they? 5-2-1.
And they have the tiebreaker.
They have a tiebreaker. So a win tonight keeps them in first place. A loss tonight in Philly. All of a sudden, Detroit's back in first place. Seattle is naked. They have not played the Rams yet. So I think it's a tie, technical tie. I don't know what the physical.
So let's just say Green Bay has home field.
Yeah. But if you think Seattle's going to win in LA, they'd be in first place and they might have home field. They might have the best record. If Philly loses tonight, they're a 3-loss team. They might not have the best record in the NFC.
This is going to sound maybe ridiculous. I still think I lean Lions.
Still Lions?
I think Detroit is interesting because going forward, we'll see what the play calling difference is going to make when they take on the Eagles next week, and that's a massive test for them.
Yeah.
I also think yesterday, despite not having Daniels, that was a little bit of like payback. what they did to them in the playoffs last year in Detroit.
They were going for two on a touchdown early. They're like,
they were challenging a catch with 9 minutes left.
They were
41-16.
You bastards, that was our year. We had home field advantage, and you came in and ruined our season.
That was a real, like, okay, let us pay you back from last year's situation. I'm going to lean Lions because I just think the test, the going through the trials and tribulations, like, they were great last year. Even though they had all those injuries, they only lost the two games. And then they just got embarrassed at home in the playoff.
Their defense was just decimated in the end of the year.
I think I'm going Lions with the experience. I trust them a little more than I trust Green Bay. And I know, hold the what happened in week one, Sprague. I get it. We'll see what happens when they have the rematch on Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to that one. And then with Seattle, I just have to believe that Detroit's defense is going to zero in on JSN, maybe disrupt things a little bit, make Darnold feel a little shaky, and then it kind of just comes down to more experience. I'm just kind of leaning on that. I think I'm going Detroit at the three.
Okay.
I don't feel amazing about it, but I'm going Detroit at the three.
Those are the three you choose. I give you $50. Yeah. You got to make swag. I give you $50. Who are you betting on? Packers, Seahawks, or Lions?
Probably the Lions.
So we're still on the Lions, huh?
Are you different? So. You go Green Bay or Seattle?
I actually would go off the board and take the Rams over all three.
Well, I know. That's why I figured you would. And I figured Philly and L.A. would be near the top of that
list. I could have thrown Tampa into there, too, because
I think Tampa's in that. Nobody's going to pick them. So that's what I thought. Like, the Lions have the pedigree. They've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. They're in the NFC title game. Seattle's been great. But I think to your point and our point on quarterbacks from time to time, there's a bit of like, yeah, we'll believe it when we see it with Sam Darnold. And he still has some dumb turnovers from time to time that you're like, what do you do? Why would you do that there?
Also, the Bucs beat him at home.
Yeah, and the Packers have been two different teams all year. Some weekends they show up and you're like, that looks like the best team in the NFL. And then they can't score points against the Browns and you lose the game outright. Or the Panthers beat you in Lambeau Field. They lost to the Carolina Panthers at home last week.
Yeah, it's a bad loss.
God, the Panthers are bad. How do you lose that game? But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Packers win tonight on Monday Night Football, because that's just who they've been all year. So I think I would lean Seattle right now. I'll put that up as a poll question. Where would your bet go in the NFC? It's going to be fun, man. The playoff picture is tightening a little bit. And the race is going to be awesome. And we get a great Monday Night Football game tonight. We'll close up the show there. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, Eagles and Packers. Let's have some fun with audio. And also, did we see the death of a conference? That's coming up next. Well, we didn't talk any Blazers today. They did lose in Miami Saturday night. Back in action tonight in Orlando.
Love
a good East Coast road trip. We need more of these, man.
It's a 4 o'clock game.
4 o'clock games are just, thank you. Thank you for the love of God. Not ending around 10 p.m. But, you know, we've had an up and down early start to our NBA year. There's been some nice wins, some great moments, some bad losses. You're like, yeah, what's going on there? That's a bit of a head scratcher. I don't know how closely people have followed, because I had not followed very closely until you pointed me to this podcast clip. The Dallas Mavericks with number one overall pick Cooper Flagg are 3-7 on the year.
They just got that third win on Saturday, by the way.
They were 2-7 going into the weekend. 2-7
going into the weekend.
And here is do we know the name of this person?
Yeah, his name is Kirk Henderson. Okay. He does a Mav-related podcast. By the way, Cooper Flagg not having a great year.
No.
But also, he's having to play point guard.
Yeah, they're pushing him to be the starting point guard.
Because Kyrie's still out. He's out for the year, right?
At least a chunk of the year. Kid's teasing he might come back in December.
What?
Which is, like, not true.
Yeah, tear his ACL thought, the end of the year last year?
I originally thought he could come back after the All-Star break if they were in contention.
That seems more reasonable. Yeah. Maybe in March for the last month or two of the season.
Kid's doing to Flag what he did to Giannis when he was in Milwaukee. He's trying to make him this point forward. And some give Kid credit to what Giannis can do now because of that. But
take your lumps early and develop it.
It's gone poorly. The roster construction of this team, I know, breaking news, Luka not on the team, not a good idea.
It's
been a very bad start. So this is a very well-known Maverick podcaster, Kirk Henderson.
Here's what he had to say about Nico Harrison.
I've not talked about him for a long time because I know realistically it's not something that's going to happen. But that loser has to go. He destroyed a championship-level team because he doesn't know how to have a conversation like a human being. He thinks he understands how basketball is played in the year 2025 and assembled a team of non-shooters that played all power forwards for a series of games. What in the f*** are we doing? This is stupid. This is insulting to all fans. This is insulting to shareholders of the team. Can't wait for whatever nonsense Mark Cuban starts DMing people being like, oh, I knew this all along. As he waffles back and forth between supporting the team and talking shit behind their backs. This is so stupid. Like, we invest a lot of this. Everybody that watches 82 basketball games a year invests a lot of time in this. And the team that this chuckle has put together is the worst basketball team by a country mile that anybody could have envisioned. We secretly thought they were going to be bad. We didn't really talk about it too much because it's not fun to talk about them being bad. This was not in my range of options. 15th in the West was not there. And because of that, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm furious.
A chuckle F is an amazing
chuckle F is going to be a part of my daily dialogue. I'll just tell you right now, if you're in my personal life, you're going to hear that one. Look at this chuckle F.
This was the most common response to the rant was like, well done, good job.
Yes.
Also, maybe the most perfect usage of chuckle F of all time.
Without a doubt. I love a good crash out. Isn't a good crash out fun to listen
to? It's great.
Because we all have moments like that as fans where you're just like, I am so fed up with this, and you lose it, and all of your filters come flying off. You're trying to be guarded in the things that you say and maybe protect certain things, and we all hit our breaking point at some moment, and I don't blame them at all. God, that's a disastrous start to year, because everybody thought they'd get the number one pick, which was, of course, rigged by the NBA for trading Luka to the big market in L.A. We all know how this plays behind the scenes. And everybody thought, well, look at that. It's going to save Nico's job. He got the number one pick, and Cooper Flagg, who's supposed to be one of the most can't-miss prospects we've ever seen. And look, I think Cooper Flagg's going to be really good. It's 7 games or 9 games into his NBA career, 10, wherever we're at right now. He's going to be fine in the long run. But it would be hilarious if he ended up getting fired, because he still deserves to get fired for orchestrating such a bad trade.
Well, here's the other part of this. So today, I want to give Gundy credit, but I would have had the same thought if I saw it. Christian Clark reported the Mavericks made an announcement of a gal added with the comms team, that the usual comms director for the Dallas Mavericks is still in place, but they've added an additional person to help him. And Gundy did the Windhorse fingers up. Why do they need more help with their messaging? What could they possibly be getting ready to message? And another report came out that the losing and the fan base and the booing and the media reaction to the Mavs' start of their season has gotten so loud that internally the ownership has gone from, no, Nico knows what he's doing. We got to win the right way. To,
things are fine.
What's happening? And so now it's something to watch of this reaction, that rant, and many others. It might actually be resonating with the organization.
As it should.
And the next thing to watch is if this continues to sink, Nico might get ran out.
Got it.
Which would feel good, but also it's going to hurt you and piss you off, because guess what?
A year left of trading Luka Doncic.
They fired a year later after allowing him to trade Luka. That's going to really upset you.
Wild stuff, dude. Wild stuff. We'll talk more about the Blazers tomorrow, because they play in Orlando tonight. Not a ton to take. The Miami game, Miami got hot. Not a lot of their guys played. Not a great loss for Portland, no doubt about it.
Now, they had a chance to win that game.
They had
a
chance.
Yeah. No Bam, and your offense at the end continues. It's Denny or bust.
Denny or bust. He's having an unbelievable year, and he had another really nice game for them on Saturday. That's a positive takeaway for them. We'll see how they do in Orlando tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about them tomorrow. I wanted to take a brief moment and acknowledge the absolute combustion bomb that went off in the ACC this weekend. Already a very weird conference when you looked at the standings. So this weekend you had Virginia lose to Wake Forest, which, by the way, how about our guy Jake Dickard, who's having a pretty good year at Wake Forest? We made fun of that guy for Bolton and the way that he did it, and it was super shady. There's not really a right way to leave, but he's having a good year for Wake.
He's a two-point try away from beating Georgia Tech, and
they're going to a bowl game. I think Virginia. They won 3 games last year, and they're already 6-3 this year.
He's had a great year.
He's had a really good year. You had Louisville lose to Cal.
Woof.
The woke agenda went out to Louisville, Kentucky, and found a way to knock Louisville off.
Jaren Sagapotule, whatever.
So that happened. And then are we right? Can I just throw a chaos scenario at you? By the way, Pitt's going to host Notre Dame this weekend, so we'll see how that shakes out for them. Pitt's ranked in the top 25. I think that's where Game Day is going to Pitt this weekend.
What?
Yeah, Pitt Notre Dame. Hey, you know what? I'll give him credit. The other option is Texas and Georgia, and we shouldn't care about Texas anymore. Eliminate them. Get them out of my life. Are we ready for the ACC champ to not make the college football playoff? And can I give you this scenario? So remember the wording in the college football playoff manual. It's the top
highest ranked conference champions, right?
And we just always assume that it'll be the Power Four and then the group of
six,
yeah. Right? Duke lost on the road to UConn this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
The Duke Blue Devils are now 5-4 on the season.
Right.
They got smoked by Illinois at home in non-conference. Mensa, their quarterback's having a great year, but their defense is just atrocious. They lost 37-34. They lost to Georgia Tech. They also lost to Tulane in non-conference, by the way, who might end up being one of these teams. There is a pathway. They get Virginia at home this weekend. Duke is a one-loss conference team and a four-loss overall team. There's a chance that they go to the conference title and win because the ACC is who the hell knows what right now. And if Duke wins the conference at 8-4, I don't know if they're going to be ranked in the top 25. And you have a chance for two group of six teams to be ranked potentially in South Florida and Tulane. And Tulane in this scenario would have a head-to-head win over Duke winning the ACC. And we might be in a world where the ACC champ gets left out of the college football playoff.
I don't think anybody would be mad about it.
I don't think they should.
I don't think anybody would be mad about it.
You shouldn't be mad.
The
conference ate itself alive this weekend.
Who's the best team in that conference?
Who the hell? Probably Georgia Tech, but I don't know. Georgia Tech doesn't have a great win on their resume.
No, they don't.
So their best win is Duke, probably. Duke just lost to UConn.
My big ACC.
Just chaos in the ACC.
Takeaway was the report that Belichick's daughter-in-law is now like actively avoiding Jordan Hudson.
Things are going great. North Carolina's on a heater right now, dude.
Yeah, they won.
You watch out for UNC. They're turning things around. Look at you over there in your Bill Belichick shirt. They beat Stanford this weekend.
I legitimately think there's a little like internal war going on with the Belichick family of like, I think his son and his son's wife understand that if she keeps in this relationship,
you're losing
all
your money.
She's going to steal his empire.
You're gone. All that money.
And so I think that's what you're seeing with the reporting of like the wife is freezing her out.
All those trademarks that she's filing. See you later. Bye-bye inheritance. You got to go lick your lips a little bit longer, Steve. You're not getting any of this cash. You better keep coaching for another 20 years. So chaos in the ACC, wanted to point it out. Wild weekend in college football, some more upsets. And Duke winning the ACC at 8-4 would be hilarious, especially if they get left out of the college football playoff. Let's get to Monday Night Football and poll questions. We'll wrap it up, send your way. Or the Blazers in Orlando tonight. Wrap it up next on The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Nice little bit of breaking news to wrap up the show today.
Yeah, how about this, huh? We don't get breaking news all that often. We like to joke about that, but
figured it was going to happen after the outcome of the game yesterday. And once again, blowing a double-digit lead and, you know. Brian Daboll just got fired.
I literally was in our boss Cooley's office two breaks ago, and I went, you got to fire Daboll.
Did he agree? Giants fan Cooley agree?
He said it was like the end of Daniel Jones. He defended it for a while, but eventually you're like, yeah. It's over.
I mean, to be fair to him, do they lose that game if Dart doesn't get hurt yesterday?
No, I don't think they do.
And so
But you can't. I mean, you can't have four blown double-digit leads this season. You can't have your third straight 2-8 start.
That's so bad.
Like, at some point, yeah, your roster's building and you don't have pieces, right? But you can't be 2-8.
If I'm a Giants fan, I'm actually feeling pretty good right now. Dayball, whatever. Like, you can go find another coach, get another play caller to bring in with Dart. But it feels like they...
Hello, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, that'd be wild if they got him. It feels like they got something at quarterback. Now, again, it's early,
dude,
but
Dart,
he should have thrown back-to-back picks in the end zone that got dropped, so that was another side story of that game.
But he can run. He can run. 200.
He's got to stay healthy. He's been banged up a little bit, and he's a little careless as a runner. He's a big-bodied guy. But Scataboo, I know his ankle went the wrong way. We know he's a Neanderthal who's a good football player. Like, feels like your defense has
been good.
Neighbors
will be back next year.
Neighbors will be back next year. And by the way, you're 2-8, so where are you drafting again this year?
Right.
You got another chance to stockpile whatever you want in the top 10 of the draft, where you might have a ton of teams who are desperate to go get a quarterback and you already have yours. So maybe you move back and get another one. Like, dude, the Giants, I know it doesn't feel like it right now. You'll be fine without Daboll. You got to fire him because he's 2-8 again, 3 years in a row. You just can't have that. They're going to be fine in the long run. I'd feel pretty good right now if I were a Giants fan about the long-term outlook of my franchise.
Yeah, you'd have the third pick in the draft right now.
And you wouldn't need a quarterback. How many of the teams around you in the top six are going to be drafting a quarterback? Or desperate
Tennessee's
for one?
At one.
Tennessee won't.
New Orleans won't.
They should.
Tyler Shuck just run a road game.
I mean, come on.
Clutch.
I mean, come on.
Clutch gene.
Co-draft
a parent.
Co-draft a quarterback.
Then you got the Giants. Teams that need a quarterback, you could throw Cleveland maybe in that if you think that they're not sold on Gabriel. The Jets need a quarterback.
Yep.
The Raiders need a quarterback.
Yep.
I don't know. Miami, I don't think, can afford to go quarterback yet.
You got to draft a quarterback if you're Miami.
I think the Rams could be in the mix because how many more years is Stafford going to be there?
What if they win it all this year? Does Stafford do the go out
walk
on top?
Off?
Like, yeah. I'm done. I'm going to be John Elway and hang him up.
Arizona's at 11. Yeah, I mean, there's like four or five teams below you that can maybe trade up to get to the third pick.
Somebody will be desperate to move up. And even if they don't, like, you're going to have maybe – this kind of happened to him last year where Carter fell to them, and I thought Carter was the best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way it shook out, they ended up, I thought, at number three getting the best player because Jacksonville did something really stupid and trading a future one for Travis Hunter, and then you had a quarterback go number one overall. And so you can be the benefactor there. I'm just saying it's a good move to fire him. You have to, and not all hope is lost in New York right now.
What position do you go if you're the Giants?
I'd probably still go. I don't know enough about their roster, but I would just lean. If I move back.
They don't need D-line.
No, you definitely don't need D-line. I'm saying if somebody's going to give you a bunch of picks to move up and get a quarterback, I would take an offensive lineman wherever I move back to. Like, if that's the ninth pick and you move back to it, take the best offensive lineman on the board.
The highest ranked receiver, I was just curious about this because I know they have neighbors, the highest receiver in the latest ESPN mock is Jordan Tyson.
Oh.
ASU.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of DTs. You have quarterbacks, backers in there.
Yeah, you don't need a running
Love.
Back.
Dante Moore is still ranked number one.
Jeremiah Love, he's coming out this year too, right? But you don't really, I mean, you got Scataboo.
You got Lemon.
Not a top 10
but Lemon's
pick
not a very big dude.
He's a little undersized. Yeah, he's still a stud. I'd still love to take a chance on him. Anyways, Daboll just got fired. There's your breaking news of the morning. Before we close with Monday Night Football thoughts, what would you rather hear talked about on the show? Swag on the Pilots?
You omitted one, by the way, that I'm glad a listener pointed out.
What did I omit?
You didn't put the Winterhawks in this, and you very well could have.
Oh, do I talk about the Winterhawks too much?
I think you talk about the Winterhawks more than I talk about...
Zero chance. Zero chance that's true. The only time I ever
mentioned... You don't think you mentioned the Winterhawks
I
more
do
than
update.
I mentioned Nottingham Forest?
In an occasional update I do. There's zero chance in the last 2 months that I've talked more Winterhawks than you have Nottingham Forest.
Break the tie.
Never once have they been included in a full-length segment.
You've talked about
thank
Forest
you. It's not even close.
The Winter
Hawks. No way.
It's not even comparable.
No way. Yes.
Updates don't count. Updates are not in segments.
You want more free merch. No. I know what you're doing.
You're up 51.4 to 48.6. Give me Pilots talk all day.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Soccer sucks.
Dude, should've Morgan Gibbs-White's header this weekend?
If you want to talk about the Timbers, that's fine because it's relevant to me. European soccer does nothing.
Oh.
Should a kicking team get 1 point for a field goal donk? Doink?
We had
80%
say,
you say no.
We had people say more than one.
More embarrassing loss, Sam Houston or Sac State? 79% say Sam Houston.
I'm sorry, you're wrong. Yeah. Sac State was worse.
You're on the Packers tonight. Monday Night Football should be fun. And we get Blazers in Orlando. Game two of a trip. Can you stay above 500? It'll be a fun little Monday night. And can't wait to see how it all plays out. We'll talk about it tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks so much for being a part of our show, everybody. If you missed it, Landon Tangwall was our guest talking all things Big Ten football and Oregon's win over Iowa. Go check the podcast wherever you get it and like the show on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm of Ferris and Marang is next. Listening to 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.